Welcome to the show. Welcome to Your Thought Life podcast. I am your host, Michael Anderson. On this podcast, we help people overcome mindset challenges to fast track personal and professional success. If you haven't already, do subscribe and follow the podcast so you don't miss any of the episodes. And for each of you who would be kind enough to leave us a rating and a review, thank you so much. It helps us tremendously to reach others seeking this style of content. Your support of the podcast is truly appreciated. Managing personal opinions is our topic for today. I recognize in my day-to-day actions that there are personal opinions that I can either accept or there are personal opinions that I can reject. Moreover, I'm also aware that personal opinions are not always accepted, but validating them involves recognizing that we ourselves are biased and subjective. And I think knowing this, you know, we have to honor the fact that everyone has an opinion about everything. There won't be anything that we come across or come in contact with another human being where there won't be some degree of delta. When I'm looking to manage a personal opinion, I think that it comes down to really understanding that it's an essential part of navigating our social interactions. And for me, it's an integral part of my growth and development, because to the extent that I let certain things in or pass the guard of my mind, there's a whole host of things or chain of reactions that can take place after that if what I've allowed in is not positive or agreeable, hence the whole biased conversation plus subjectiveness component. But understanding how personal opinions are formed and learning strategies to manage and share them effectively, these things are going to aid you for the rest of your life. They're going to have impact in your communication, your relationships, and most certainly, any degree to which you have made personal development a key component of your evolution. Here's one to grow on. Studies have shown that individuals tend to seek out information that confirms their existing beliefs, a phenomenon known as confirmation bias, while also being susceptible to the influence of groupthink and social pressure. I wanted to do this episode because there are forces at work in this whole management of personal opinion that I think for many of us, we never come to understand in their truest formats. I'm going to help you with that today. We're going to take a little bit of a look at the factors that are influencing personal opinion. We're going to share some personal opinions, and then we're going to see what is it that we can do to manage them. What are the factors that we find that are influencing personal opinion? We've already named one of them, social influences. These are our peer groups. These come from our family construct. These come from culture. This comes from media. And all of these together create a significant impact, a bit of a confluence or influence formation that really chips away opinion and helps drive them one way or the other. The next is personal experiences. Each of us will have a set of experiences, encounters, things that we have gone through, been through, seen, witnessed, experienced. These items from our past experiences are also going to chip away at our personal opinion or help to form them. Then it would be wrong if we didn't add the emotional response as well, because emotions, when they enter in while being ushered in by either personal experience or social influences, these bring with them a whole host of cautionary situations where now we're starting to have so much additional feeling and emotion that is starting to cloud our judgment, along with all of the other information that's coming in either from our past or from our environments. Either way, we're getting cloudy. Our ability to think through that is penalized, certainly when the emotions take place. I don't know. For me, it used to lead to irrational thoughts. And most certainly, my personal biases were allowed to express themselves in their fullest way. And finally, we have education and information. It's funny, though, because just a few days ago, I was having a talk about this with a good friend of mine, and she said, Michael, if I go out and I'm looking for something and I want a positive spin on it, I can very easily find it. And she said, in the same way, I can go look at the same topic and decide I want a negative spin on it and I can find it with just as much authority one way or the other. This is the problem we have with information and education, the quality of it, the backdrop, the intellectual aspects. Does any of that root itself in science? Does it have the ability to be proven? Or are there smidgets of bias sprinkled throughout? Are there opinions even contained within this information? Someone's own personal perspective. We got to think about all of this. These are the factors that influence personal opinion. But what about sharing personal opinions? I like to do it this way. I want to choose the right moment. I'm going to pick an appropriate time, a setting, and I'm going to share an opinion. But I'm also going to share, before I tell my opinion, that this is in fact my opinion. You may take what you will from it, but the choice remains with you as to the degree to which you incorporate this into some decision, into some scenario, or some outcome that you're trying to achieve. I like to be respectful. This is how I show respect to this process and help people understand that I'm either coming pure from science or I'm coming pure from my opinion, that they know how to govern themselves accordingly. The use of I statements is another component that I've learned to practice over the years. I frame my opinions using I statements because I want to take ownership of this perspective. If I'm coming from science, then I will also make that abundantly clear. The aim in either coming from an I standpoint or from a science standpoint is to aid them in understanding, is this an opinion or does this have scientific credit and merit? The other thing that I like to do is provide reasons and examples. If I'm going to share an opinion, I will also bake into this particular discussion, this nugget I'm sharing, what have you, why it is that I feel this way, how I came to understand this thing this way. I'm giving them context to understand not just a statement, but how the statement became a part of my overall well-being and why I communicated to them in that manner. We needed to deal with those so that we could really deal with these. The topic of our talk today is managing personal perspectives. Now, let us in earnest take a look at five things that we'll find ourselves desperately needing to do so that we are able to, at the end of the exercise, manage personal opinions. And we start out by suggesting that critical thinking is one of the first things in these five pillars that we're going to want to adopt. This is the practice of evaluating information objectively, questioning the assumptions, and considering alternative views. I think at the end of the day, if you were to sum this up, grandmother used to say, take it with a grain of salt. Well, said differently today, you hear something, it may sound appealing to you, double check it, dig into it, do a little research. Some might say do your homework before you wholeheartedly adopt that particular topic, idea, concept. While you're looking objectively and questioning the assumptions, take the time to get broader and deeper into the topic, that once you've done this critical thinking task, you feel good about allowing this to become a part of you, and you're able to, in your own words, defend it should you decide to share an opinion with someone else. But more importantly, this is a criteria for you to evaluate incoming information. Number two is active listening. You're engaging in the conversation. You're giving your head nods at the right time, but you're listening intently. When you listen actively, you're not waiting for a turn to speak or a turn to input whatever you have going on in your mind. You're wanting to really gain an appreciation for what the person is sharing with you. This comes particularly in handy when you are encountering opposing opinions. Sometimes in the corporate space, there are differing opinions. Well, I feel a certain way about a strategic plan, and one of my peers feels differently about the strategic plan. Hence, we have now opposing opinions. Well, this active listening comes in handy in situations like this, because now, instead of getting all irritated and flustered that you're not getting your way, you can use this tool to really keenly listen to what he or she is saying, that you know how to ask intelligent questions for first clarification, because you want to collect all the facts before you start spilling out a whole bunch of additional opinions. But also, it's going to help you in processing this component that you're not in agreement on. I think by being able to process that unemotionally, the two of you can come to a common ground that much faster. This removes the element of reaction, the whole active listening, and we're turning off emotions and ego, utilizing a discipline to get to the heart of the matter quickly. Number three is to seek diverse perspectives. This is exposing yourselves to a variety of different experiences as well as perspectives. One of the coolest things that you can do, if you're able to, is when you travel, go to places that you wouldn't ordinarily go. When you get there, seek to understand how the locals do their day-to-day lives, what their cultural norms are. When you do this, what you find is that all of the biases that you hold to be true and affirmed and it is the way it is are not the same for other people, for other cultures, and for other environments. The cool thing about this exposure is it broadens your understanding and it challenges your current belief system. And by it being broadened and challenged, it's able to grow. We want to be in a perpetual state of growth under our own divisiveness. And this is the third tool in this five-set suite that you can use to manage personal opinions. The next is reflective practices. I like to regularly reflect on my opinions. I have, at the end of the day, what I call an after-action review, something I learned from the armed services. After anything we did, we always came together at the end. In corporate, we call it a post-mortem. Nonetheless, both do the exact same thing. What did we do right? Or what did we learn? What did we do right? Where was the opportunity for us to do better the next time? And exactly what would we do different next time to ensure an even better outcome? Something like that. But I do my opinions, my advice to others. I put that under this same level of scrutiny. I feel like if you were able to do the exact same thing with the information that is incoming, then it won't have the ability and the wherewithal to change your state, to change your behavior and to invoke feelings and emotions that you don't want to have invoked at that moment. Phenomenal tool also for assessing and realigning your values and your principles. When you're in a situation and you don't have these tools and you attempt to manage personal opinions, it becomes difficult. There's no framework that you're looking back on to sort of note, unless you're, a really astute person. You don't really have anything there to lean back in, to lean up against, to lean in with, to say, is this opinion trustworthy or not? You kind of got to go with your gut. Do they align with what you already think or how you see the world? That in of itself is a bit short-sighted, says science, not me. The last thing you can do is practice open-mindedness. This is cultivating a mind and a willingness to adapt your opinions based on new evidence and insights. This is not something that came easy for me. Some of you know my story. I grew up in a really tough environment. There was no open-mindedness. It was pure survival. As I became more ingrained in the armed services is where I learned this. If you can begin doing this immediately, it will stifle that sensation that comes up when somebody says something that you don't agree with. It will just turn that whole thing on its head. You will become so free from all of those responses that you would have in earnest put together in a flash. You will be instead like, that's interesting. Let me think about that. Let me see if there's some alternatives to that. Let me ponder that. Let me unpack that a bit. If there's any of these that you can deploy immediately for a sensational first start, it's going to be this one, number 5, being open-minded. Our goal today was to talk about managing personal opinions. I think we have covered this fairly exhaustively, so I want to leave you with a couple of thoughts. Managing personal opinions, this is a continuous process, family, that you're going to go through all of the time, and it's going to require of you self-awareness, critical thinking, and the willingness at a heart and mind level to engage with diverse perspectives, some of which may be foreign to you. It's by understanding the factors that shape our opinion, which we've covered, and employing strategies or framework, which we've covered, you can then begin to foster a constructive dialogue, unemotional, and enhance relationships and promote personal growth. Lastly, as you navigate the complexities of day-to-day life, I want you, please, sir and ma'am, to embrace flexibility and open-mindedness, both of which will lead you to much richer experiences and a deeper understanding of yourselves and the people that you have to communicate with. Thank you so much for tuning in, and that concludes this episode. I appreciate your time and your attention. You can reach me on IG at Your Thought Life, Y-O-R, Thought Life, no spaces. I want to remind you that you are enough. You can do it. You are uniquely equipped to realize your goals. Until next time, take care and be safe.